This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Employees, be submissive to your masters, employers, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And so they're good employers and they're bad employers. Okay, and God knows who are good and God knows who are bad. Nonetheless, we're to submit to them. They are the ones hiring you. They're the ones paying you. They're the one, they're your boss. There's a level of authority there and we have to submit to that.
Submission is a concept that seems to go against the grain of human nature. And yet, we all see the need for it in certain aspects of life. As Pastor Eddie continues his teaching series through the book of 1 Peter, he'll be explaining that without submission, things quickly fall into chaos, as everyone strives to be in charge. Even though it's sometimes mocked as a sign of weakness, submission is really one of the strongest pillars of a stable society. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. As he continues his message, submission to authority.
We only worship the one true God, but regardless, we're to respect all people, honor, respect all people, you know, whether they believe in Christ or not, whether they love Christians or not, we're to honor them and we're to respect them. Jesus said again in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the good works of that is to honor them and glorify your Father in heaven. The next short command he gives us to love the brotherhood, and we know this. We see that throughout the scriptures, Jesus gave us the greatest command. Love your neighbor or love one another so they may know that you're my disciples. And the word here is the agape. It's an unconditional love. It's not a love if or when or because. It's a love period. It's an unconditional love and it's a Christ-like love. And we're to love one another. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. And when we think that word as, how much Christ loved us. He died on the cross. He gave his all. The next command, fear God. And the verb fear does not mean to be in terror, but to be in awe, in reverence. In a reverence that leads us to the obedience of God. So we're to fear him. Everything we do, he's telling us to honor and respect those in authority. And this is a part. Why? You know, because I fear God. That's why. I don't fear the government. What can man do to me, right? The worst they can do to me is the best they could do for me, right? That's why Jesus says, don't worry about the one that can take away the flesh, who could kill you. Worry about the one who can take away the flesh and the soul, and that's God. And so we're to fear God. And with fear, by doing anything that would displease him, we fear misrepresenting God before men. And lastly, the fourth one is to honor the king. And in today's context, today, the way we would look at this, it is to submit to the president of the United States. We're to honor his position, honor that he's the president of the United States. Okay, we're to honor, even if we know for sure that a president hates God and hates Christians, even if that be the case, and I am no point, have any president in mind, and even with their behavior against the things of God, to say they hate God and hate Christians, that's really a strong accusation. But do I really know that? So I can't say that. Who knows? Should the Lord tarry, a president comes into the office and he's in the White House, he may clearly state that I hate Christians and I hate God. Because pretty much that's who we're voting into office nowadays. So I wouldn't be surprised if it makes it all the way to the White House. And so anyway, so the command, we're to honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. And as believers of Christ, we must submit to all authority, for God is our God, and he will you know, and he will, you know, take care of those who abuse their authority. But God knows whether or not we do obey or not. He knows the heart, and it's also the attitude. It's the attitude. And so, again, the only time we don't obey is when they tell us clearly that we cannot preach the name of Jesus Christ or assemble. And so in verses 13 to 17, Peter exhorts us to submit to the government, right? To all the institutions, all though in authority. Now is another one you're going to love, is in verses 18 to 25, submission to masters. And that's going to speak of employers, managers, bosses, supervisors. Boy, it's quiet today. I want to make sure everybody okay? Okay. I'm going to have somebody check your pulse in a little bit after service to make sure, because I know this is not a good topic. We don't like it, but you know what? This is what makes the difference between those who really love God and fear God and who are real Christians, and separates the real Christians from the fake ones. And it separates us from the world. Separates us from the world. Just a little background so we can understand this master thing, because sometimes we think of slaves, we think of those that are forced into slavery. That is not the case during this time. And so the background is, during the first century, slavery was very common. Slavery was very common. So when Peter wrote this letter, slavery was very common. As a matter of fact, there's been an estimated over 60 million slaves were in the Roman Empire. And slaves, they at that time, it was considered the workforce. And so slaves at that time were considered, as we would consider, employees. Employers, you know, masters, employees, slaves. 60 million slaves. And we know within this time, that would be about a third to about half of the population. Okay, that was the workforce. And most of those 60 million slaves or employees were Christians, because they were the poor class, the middle class. And especially if they were Jews and they converted to be a Christian, they found Jesus Christ to be their Messiah, they've been ostracized, okay? They're on their own now. They get no support from anybody in the family. They've been thrown out. So most likely they're going to fall into that poor class and the middle class. However, understand that the slaves at that time, they were not all uneducated. Many of them were educated, because slaves at that time were doctors, they were accountants, they were lawyers, they were teachers, they were chiefs, and they were also musicians, you know, chief musicians and musicians. Well, they didn't have a stereo system back then. How would they listen to music? And if they had the money, they would hire musicians to play music, you know? And so they weren't only uneducated. So we get that perception to think that, okay, oh, they've been forced into slavery. They're poor, raggedy, and they live in a little shed. No, they're in the house, actually. And these are servants who are, again, they're well-educated. They're doctors, teachers, and lawyers. And it'll help us if we look at the Greek word for servant here, the word servant. The word servant here is called oikates, and it means one who lives in the same house with their master, whose duties are primarily restricted to the household. And so this is not the Greek word douloi. Douloi, the Greek word douloi, is the common word for slavery, for slave. Or doulos, which is what we just studied, bondservant, is a willing slave. Okay, this is another slave. This is a servant in the household. In most cases, they were considered part of the family because they were always in the house. So it's not something where they're abused, you know, mistreated. In some cases, they are, because they're hired. But this Greek word for servant, oikates, is mentioned only five times in the New Testament, compared to douloi and doulos. Douloi, slave; doulos, bondservant. So hope that helps us. We can understand the text. Now, we're going to read and understand, look at verses 18 to 25. And so understand that masters and servants, today we call them employees and employers. So keep that in mind as we study the text. It's still applicable for us today. So let's look at verse 18. It says, servants, employees, be submissive to your masters, employers, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And so they're good employers and they're bad employers. Okay, and God knows who are good and God knows who are bad. Nonetheless, we're to submit to them. They are the ones hiring you. They're the ones paying you. They're your boss. There's a level of authority there, and we have to submit to that. However, how good or bad they treat you as a believer in Jesus Christ, Don't follow those who are not believers in your job, your coworkers who are employees like yourself. You know, if they have a problem with the manager or whatever, you know, you don't chime in with that. Because every employee is different, and every employer cheats, you know, employees different, employers different. And so we must, you know, as believers in Christ, we must be submissive. And it says here, with all fear, with all fear. It's not like they're going to kill you or beat you, but, you know, there is a respect. Why? Because God is watching. It's not so much that, you know, you have a problem with your boss, is that God is your ultimate boss. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, bondservant, be obedient to those who are your masters, again, employers, according to the flesh, which with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. So in the same way, when you look at your employer, obviously they're not going to be Christ-like, but in the same respect, you respect them. Not with eye service as man pleases. Oh, you know those employees that only do work when the boss is watching, okay? Or go above and beyond. Oh, look, boss, look what I'm doing. And then when they leave, you go to the back and smoke a cigarette. Hope you don't smoke. But anyway, you take extra lunch hour, but when they're there, you do the extra, right? But God says, hey, you know, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleaser, but as bond service, doulos, a willing servant of Christ, because that's who you are. Ultimately, you are a bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so a motive of submission and service to employers, managers, supervisors, is ultimately of fear and reverence to God. And God sees. He sees the work we do. He sees how whether or not we are submissive to those who hire us. Let's look at verse 19. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. So if you're faithful in submission to the employer that's harsh, even if you endure a just treatment, this is commendable to God. God sees this. That's what pleased God. And God sees, you know what? My servant down there is being mistreated by his or her boss. But look how faithful, how strong they are. Who's the better one? My son and my daughter. And God sees that. God sees that. Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten, that doesn't apply today, not that I know of, but not in America. What credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? So that's not the issue here. Who knows? It might be in some other countries, but you may not be beaten physically, but, you know, you might be written up. But here he's saying, you know, he said, beaten for your fault. You deserve this. So the first half of verse 20, he said, if you're beaten for your fault or being written up because you did something wrong, or you were dock pay because you're always late, okay? Don't get mad. You brought that upon yourself. And it's amazing how I see people get so upset. Coworkers get, it was traffic. Oh, every day there's an excuse. I mean, really? Every day you're late and it's the boss' fault. You know, I bet you when you were being interviewed for the job, I'm always on time. I'm a hard worker. You get the job and now you're like really slack. You know, I'm one that's always early. And that's the God's honest truth. I'm always early because I hate, for me to be on time anywhere, for me it's late. I have to consider there might be traffic getting somewhere. I remember when I was working, before I became a police officer, I was a locksmith, and I was in a locksmith shop, and right across the street was H&H Bagels. Oh man, they made the bagels right there, and you could smell the bagels right across the street. And it would come right hot off the oven. And every time I would go early, because I would go there. And then I would go early sometime. My boss would say, hey, Eddie, how you doing? Hey, listen, how about getting me a coffee and a bagel? I buy, you fly. In other words, I pay for it, you go get it. I said, hey, a free bagel tastes better than one you have to pay for, right? I go. And every time. And I remember one time I was late. And it was because I got up late. And a coworker would say, well, Eddie is late because he came late. He came in the same time I came. He said, Eddie is always here early. He's always here early. He could afford to be late. And that's the testimony I had. And when I was interviewed, going into the police department, you know, my investigator would ask me the question, actually asked me this question, do you make it work on time? I say, no. He looked at me, what? I said, no, I make it early. And that's the truth. I like to be wherever I have to go, early. Okay. And so, this, for example, so if you come late and here you did something wrong that you know you shouldn't do, and you get written up, you deserve it, right? Look at the second half of verse 20. He said, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. God sees it. You're doing your job faithfully. You're working hard. You're on time. You give 110%. You suffer hardship. What do? You fight back. You protest. Call the union rep. Get a lawyer. No, that's usually the case, right? I know people who have lawyers on a speed dial. It's just unbelievable if we have a speed dial. For every, you can, oh, I'm going to call in my lawyer. Call in my lawyer. I said, really? You're probably that wealthy. You probably have lawyers on staff. You know, everything's a lawyer. Hey, it showed that you can take it, right? No, God says you stand firm. You be patient, do good. Because why? This is commendable towards God. This commendable to God. You know, I know you probably say, but why do I have to deal with all this? Well, there's a big principle. There's something bigger than this, a bigger picture, because now you're setting an example of who Christ was when he suffered, right? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? Oh, we don't like that. But yes, Jesus was. We think that people are going to get away with it. Nobody's going to get away with it. God sees everything. He records everything. He doesn't forget. God sees. And God would bring judgment on those who cheat you, who wronged you. But he said, you know what? Let it go. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to receive more blessing than you ever received. And them, those that wrong you and those that cheat you, I got mine. They're not going to get away with it, you see. Again, this is what Christ did. It might be very well that you're there working for him in that company with the employees to lead them to Christ, or maybe a fellow worker that needs Christ. Verse 21, for this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps. You may not like the first line of verse 21, for to this you were called. You know, people want to be called, pastor, priest. You want to get called to the biggest ministry ever. But you're called to this, to suffer as Christ suffered. You see, a lot of people, this is the part of Christianity that people don't, you won't get this on, you know, TVN or from the prosperity preacher in TV, evangelist. They won't tell you this. But to be Christ-like is also to suffer as he suffered. And you were called for this. Every believer in Jesus Christ was called to be with Christ, like Christ, and part of that is suffering like Christ. It's all over the scriptures. We're called to follow the Savior's footsteps. Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Paul tells us this. He wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, that's not a problem, but also to suffer. Oh, for his sake. So not only believe is not a problem. Well, for some people it is, but let's say you believe in it. But the other part is to suffer. He says in verse 30, having the same conflict, that word conflict in the Greek is agon, where we get the word agony. Agon. Having the same agony which you saw in me, the Apostle Paul, now here is in me. So Christ suffered, Paul suffered. This is part of Christianity. And we're not suffering compared to the Christians around third world countries. We don't have no idea what suffering is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Suffer persecution. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, right? Jesus Christ was falsely accused, he was beaten, he was nailed to the cross, and did not sin, nor a deceitful word came out of his mouth. And so when you're being mistreated by your employer, which is not physical, by the way, unless there are some, you know, bosses that are abusing, they're mistreating employees. And so now you got to be careful what you say in the workplace. And so they abuse, men who abuse women, you know, it happens. And that's where, hey, you draw the line right there. It's illegal. It's illegal. Christ is not saying you to take that, okay? Because that is where you need to draw the line, because they physically are doing something to you. And, you know, don't make up stories. Don't make it worse than what it is. If you're being mistreated at work in any way, and if it's illegal, then you have every right, because it's illegal. But we're not talking about how they're yelling at you. So what? Big deal. Or they change your shift. You were hired for that. You didn't tell them, hey, I only work these days, when you got, right? All of a sudden, now we want to select days we want to work. We need to be careful. And so we need to stand firm, be patient. Don't lose your testimony. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, speaking of Christ, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. So in the same way with Christ, don't seek revenge. Don't retaliate. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, the Father, who judges righteously. And so God sees and knows all things, and he's going to take care of it. Just as Christ committed himself to God, the Father, who judges righteously, so we too are to leave it in God's hand. He'll take care of it. In verses 24 and 25, Peter now tells us what Christ has done for us. So we're to be like Christ, but look at what Christ has done for us. We see this in verse 24 and 25, and you're going to see some passages here that points to the messianic prophecy spoken of in Isaiah 53. But I'm going to really make emphasis on the you, we, our in these two verses. So you can know this is to us to remember what Christ has done for us. In verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, speaking of the cross, it was made of wood, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, and overseer of your soul. This is what he's done for us. And he's letting you know, listen, I have everything under control. I have your life under control. He's a shepherd. He's an overseer. He's not going to let you be abused. He's not going to allow. He's going to be there for you. And so before we became to Christ, we were lost sheep. We were lost, broken. And now we have the shepherd.
Thank you for listening to Running the Race. Pastor Eddie's currently in 1 Peter, a book so many of us can relate to. Between unexpected circumstances and our own feelings, we're prone to not handle life well all the time. If we're honest, persevering in unjust situations is the last thing we want to do. But it's what God calls us to do. The next time you find yourself in a troublesome situation or your feelings threaten to take over, remember to persevere. Push through, so your faith grows and is that much more rooted in God. Isn't it nice to know that even though you experience injustice, God sees it and he knows your heart? If anything you've heard today has you wondering or has prompted some questions, would you get in touch with us? All of our contact information can be found on our website, runningtheraceradio.com. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience, and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. We look forward to spending more time with you, our listeners, on the next edition of Running the Race.